Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
you got it! It's time for episode 580 of Who Charted, the show where comedians discuss the top five songs and movies of the week. Congratulations, you have reached the end of January on your way back to summer 2022. I'm your host, H. Michael Cray, and this is Who Charted. What's up, Starred? I threw myself a curve there in the
end. That was very good.
Yeah,
that, I feel like that's a legit move, though, like an old school kind of like radio move. You add that like gap of silence. You really bring the anticipation. This is Who Charted.
It's Who Charted. Yes. Could you cut that and send me a clip of that so I'll have that to study tomorrow's morning meeting? Okay, great. Thank you.
That was great.
Right on. Exciting stuff.
Yeah. Big football weekend, of course.
I was waiting for your text to say, "Hey, good game." It didn't come.
Oh, but I was waiting for your text to say, "Hey, are you okay? I'm checking in on you."
But then I felt like I'd be Odell Beckham, like going over to Pat Debo, like it's a little patronizing. I was waiting for you to just be like, "Hey, man, good game. Good luck in the Super Bowl." But then I thought, you know, Starts, he could be recording somebody. You know,
yeah, I don't know. I was waiting for a text to say, "Hey, you know, it's not all that bad. You got, you know, next year you got Trey Lance and
tweet at us, gang. Let us know where the onus is on the sports win. When I lose, I take the onus off the other guy. Just go, hey, man, good game. Congrats.
Move on." Oh, okay. I see. Yeah.
That's a East Coast etiquette. On the West Coast, it's more of, I'll just act like that didn't happen.
Have you always been a Rams fan?
They were my original team. This is a great question. My original first team when I was the littlest I can remember liking a football team was the Cincinnati Bengals. And then about a couple years after that, when I was also super young, I switched to the LA Rams. So this is my dream childhood team Super Bowls, right?
Okay. Because that's nice. It's just that I've never left the San Francisco 49ers. I was born in that. So I think the onus is actually on you.
I see.
To text.
You know what? I know you pretty good over the years. And I estimate you watch about 2 regular season games a year tops, if that. So congrats.
We had season tickets
on your bandwagon run.
Congrats. No. Hey, apart from football, I have some chart news.
Oh, let's hear it.
Yeah, your boy is on the charts. Improv for Humans for Music, the vinyl record I produced with Improv for Humans, is on the Billboard compilations chart, coming in at number 13.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, it just came out and it hit number 13 on one of the oddest of the Billboard charts, but yeah, you know, I'll take it.
Hey, gang, do what you can do. Pick up some copies of that, multiple copies. We got to push that thing to number 5 so that we can do it right here on Who Charted.
There we go.
Congratulations on that. That's cool.
Thank you. You've
crossed the stream and you went through the portal. Now you're on the charts.
That's exactly it. And we beat out number 14, which was Toddler Favorites. by favorite artists.
Damn. Yeah. Feather in your cap.
Yeah.
Fuck those toddlers. They don't know shit. No experience. Nice work.
Thank you.
All right.
You.
Well, let's meet our guest. Here he comes now. You know him from the You Are Worthy podcast and so many appearances on Comedy Bang Bang throughout the Earwolf network ecosystem of comedy shows. Please welcome to Who Charted, Mookie Layla.
Hi, hello.
Hey.
I should have had you also say number 99 on the Vulture list of 101 best comedy Bang Bang characters of all time.
Nice.
Oh, whoa. Congratulations.
Yes. Which made it in.
Which character?
That would be my classic Michael Jackson Back from the Dead character.
Oh, fantastic.
So 99 out of 101. So two idiots are behind me.
That's badass. And why Thank did you. They even do 101? I mean, it should really just
be
100.
You know what I mean? I should have been second to last, not third to last.
Exactly. I consider you so much better than that guy who got 101. Like,
thank you.
Better.
I think it was James Adomian.
Oh, yeah. Duh. See what I'm saying? He's trash. Adomian's trash.
Did toddler favorites make that list?
No, not even close.
No toddlers on there?
The compilation Toddler Favorites did not make the Vulture list of 101.
Hey, yeah, like who was the
Bang Bang characters?
Why was there no toddler star to emerge out of Bang Bang?
Yeah, right?
True. They'd probably make a great character.
I think Sloppy Timmy might have been on there once. I mean, maybe I should be the best toddler character ever on Bang Bang.
Well, do we know anyone at Vulture?
Oh, great call. Let's talk to Vulture.
Let's talk.
I got connects at BuzzFeed.
I want to speak to Vulture.
Right on. Welcome in.
Thank you.
Excited to have you. Of course,
thank you.
Anytime you are mentioned, I just think of that time that I ran into you guys at Best Buy. I don't know if you remember, but about 20 years ago in Best Buy, you and Dave were playing the video games. You know, you can play the video games at Best Buy.
Oh, yeah?
And I ran into you guys, said hi, didn't bother you for too long. You went back to the game.
Of course, yeah. We were polite and engaged in small talk with you. Howard, I don't remember. Was it the West Hollywood Best Buy, the one with the on La Brea and Santa Monica?
Yeah, right there. And it was kind of brand new at the time. You know, that was a big new place to go. And that's just my go-to memory. It's just what pops in every time.
I wonder what
time,
game that would have been. Would it have been PS3?
No. Well, maybe. I don't know. It would have been, I bet it was when Dave and I lived together. Me and Dave and Charlene Yee used to be roommates.
Oh, there you go.
And I've been in LA for 16 years.
Okay.
So it was probably 20. About 15 years ago when I lived with him. And we were probably going to Target.
Could that be the first Halo or something? Or something like that?
Or one of the Halos. I'm trying to think. I bet it was like one of those things where like we were broke and we like for something to do, we would like go to Best Buy and like play a free video game for half an hour and like walk around Target and like share like a Baja Fresh burrito or something like that.
Nowadays, that would be considered like a podcast. That'd be this way. We went and
called
did that
free
for our
stuff,
podcast.
And we every day we walk around and find a new free thing to entertain ourselves with.
Right.
That whole complex is an interesting adventure in itself. Sure. You know?
What that La Brea Target?
Yeah, in the Best Buy, and there's a bunch of stuff there, right?
Yeah, I once saw Dog and Beth, Dog the Bounty Hunter, and Beth down at the parking garage level.
Wow.
Wow.
Were they on an investigation?
They might have been. I think they were trying to figure out how to pay for the parking. That's something that was beyond Dog, it looked like. Hey, but great to have these memories. Great to see you. We'll
Love
catch
that.
Up. We'll find out what your pandemic is like. But right now, let's listen to the music chart. I'll wrap the history of recorded music.
Here we go.
We used to play LPs, 8-tracks, cassettes, and CDs. Now we download and we stream. Guess what's coming? NFTs. Tunes.
Woo! We did it.
Hey, speaking of NFTs, they're going to be doing Lifetime Coachella passes as an NFT.
Mm. Really?
You buy the NFT, lifetime Coachella. Wow. I guess that's...
So an NFT is... Yeah.
Go ahead.
Can literally be anything. It can be a piece of art. It can be a ticket to something. It can be... It
can be a song.
It could be a song. Anything that could have a digital code.
Mm. So, jeez, I wonder how much those are going for.
Lifetime it could pass. Be a lot. And then what happens when they have a, you know, there's a COVID, there's a pandemic, there's a hurricane.
That's why it's lifetime. You miss 1 year, you go the next year.
Good point.
Thank you.
That's pretty crazy, right?
Yeah,
that is crazy. seems like a better use of it than, you know, like a GIF. Gives you something tangible.
Great point. You'll have a couple weekends in the desert every spring.
So your the code is the thing. Look, I know we're all tired of this discussion.
It's confusing. Yeah.
But the code is the thing that you own, and the thing that makes it unique and expensive is that it's a code that literally nobody else owns, and the picture of the Bored Ape is just like the icon on your computer that is the thing that you can point to and go, I own that code.
Yeah, it's like a blue check mark kind of. It's like, I'm official.
It's like baseball cards or something. It's like any collectible thing.
Right.
Having the certificate that says, I am the rightful owner of this thing, and this is the certified official one.
Right. And the thing you own.
Yeah. So the whole
code.
The whole,
Well, you own a code, but it can have utility. Like, for instance, with the Bored Apes, it's sort of like an exclusive club. It's like you bought a membership to an exclusive club.
Oh,
and so
very cool.
A lot of times that club is just a luxury club of rich guys who want to make more money. But in a lot of ways, it could also be a much cooler club than that.
You could
do a Mookie NFT and it's just people who are down with it.
Yeah, where's the NFT club for the people?
Right.
There we go.
Well, they'll emerge. We'll see. Most people hate it. I got hope for it, but I think good things are going to happen. Hey, what chart do we
have? All right, we're doing the Apple Music chart.
Nice.
Right on.
Top 100 USA on Apple Music. Coming in, number five.
Number five.
This is Gunna with P Power featuring Drake.
I don't be fucking no cow. Nope, I'm digging in deep. Beat, you want to get geek. She sniffing that flower. We geeking for hours.
Interesting cadence.
We play. They peek at the bow. Peek to my brother, she ours. She ours. Slatty. I'm coming, my baby. Fuck it, I'm crocodile burk in the bag. You don't take breaks, you won't fuck on the day.
Oh, it's been a while since I've heard moaning.
What's that?
It's been a while since I've heard, you know, like the moaning sample on a beat like that.
Been a while since you heard moaning, Brett.
Thank you. Mookie's solving all kinds
of
problems.
Such a self-own. I hope we got that on tape.
Mostly in there by yourself, huh?
Right.
Hey, speaking of having sex and rappers and everything.
Yeah.
Congrats to ASAP Rocky and Rihanna, who have a baby on the way.
Mm.
Good looking baby coming.
Happy for those guys.
Pretty surprising. I mean, I didn't know that was in the works. I didn't know they were even dating.
I think that was the big announcement to everyone is that we are together.
Yeah.
We're not married.
No.
We're having a child.
They went ASAP with that.
The crazy.
They didn't wait for the wedding.
The crazy thing is the baby is born with a yacht club pass, with a Bored Ape yacht club.
Wow. That baby will be born into the wealth.
Yeah. The baby, that's the ultimate NFT. You know, you've got your DNA code in there. You know what I mean?
There you go. Yeah, that's a one of one for sure. You
can't fake that.
Babies are the original NFT.
Thank you. You own it.
That's on that.
It's you can put
if
it up
you
on a
sell
shelf.
It. You could sell it and still
yeah.
To the original. It's great. Put them to work for you.
Coming in at number four.
Number four.
Carolina Gaitan with We Don't Talk About Bruno. This is from the Encanto soundtrack. It's a little weird. Can always hear him sort of muttering and mumbling. I associate him with the sound of falling sand. With a heavy lift with the gift so humbling. Always left up well in the family fumbling. Grappling with prophecies they couldn't understand. Do you understand? 7 foot frame. Wild. That's pretty good for a Disney song. Usually they all sound the same to me.
Yeah, I heard from somewhere that they weren't planning for this song to be the hit from the movie. Like they're surprised by what things have taken off.
That makes sense to me because usually, yeah, they shoot right down the middle. They probably thought this was the weird deep cut.
Yeah, it's like a side character song. I don't know.
That was from that movie?
Yeah.
It's got that I feel like I've been looking at a lot of TikTok lately, and there's this like resurgence of like old New Orleans, like, yeah, dabba dabba.
Right, right. You know what I mean? Like,
and Louis Armstrong.
The devil went down and put on the boot, like, you know, when trumpets and things like that.
You know, it's funny you say that because even John Mellencamp put out a new album last week, which sounds completely like Tom Waits, but it's Mellencamp doing Tom Waits.
Oh, wow.
It even has trombones on it sometimes. Like, it's full on.
Jack and Diane.
They must call it Waits Core. Like, they go, we're just doing Waits, you know, like Greta Van Fleet and Zeppelin.
Well, it's like the evolution of like the Mumford and Sons, where like they're trying to make it cool again, but it's still a little too like.
Yeah, cleaned up.
It's a little too like you wanted to put on suspenders more than like you wanted to make that song.
Right. Like you would have been dangerous with that sound like 67 years ago.
Yeah. And now it's like, it's like, can you believe we all went into an old speakeasy and drank moonshine and went,
Right. It's like Satchmo did it okay back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at the way that I spin it.
It's like that old New Orleans twang, but like we are from LA.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We licensed this song before we ever played it live. Right on. All right, what's coming up next?
Coming in at number three.
Number three.
Muni Long, Hours and Hours.
Oh.
I could do this for hours and hours and hours. I could do this for hours and hours and hours. I could do this for hours and hours and hours. I could do this for hours and hours. Usually don't like nobody. And when I say nobody, I mean
Speaking of doing it for a long time, congrats to Tom Brady on a storied career. He's out. This is our first Who charted in the post Tom Brady era.
Wow, what a run! I was bummed I couldn't be part of the football talk because I'm a Patriots fan pretty publicly.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, and I think being a Tom Brady hater is lame.
Okay. Mm, yep. Well, yeah. I mean, he did a lot. Why a lot of your fellow Patriots are holding a grudge?
Well, here's what I read is that he's maybe going to sign a one-day contract with the Patriots so he can retire as a Patriot. And I think he's waiting on that. I mean, that's probably a lie, but that's
right.
I wouldn't be against that. Who would be against that? There's people you think that don't want him back?
I don't think anyone would be against it. People were upset today because he announced his retirement and he didn't mention the Patriots at all.
Yeah.
Mm. Or the Patriots fans. But I don't feel like he would do that because I think.
Yeah, I don't think there's no grudge. He just already left the Patriots like 2 years ago.
He said his goodbyes and his thank yous then. But
some 49er fans wanted to sign him for 1 year just so he could retire as a, you know, his Bay Area, because he's a local boy.
Sure, of course, there. Yes. And Joe Montana's his hero, all that.
Yep. Oh, is that lame too?
No, not at all.
But I will say this, without a doubt, this cannot be argued. Today, Tom Brady is a quitter.
Yes.
That will be I'll give you that today. I'll give you that today and today only.
Today he's a quitter.
And I wouldn't do that for anyone.
Thank you.
All right. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
Kodak Black and Super Gremlin. I've been multitasking, rapping and being a daddy to my little children. I've been spending on business and spending and spending and spending until I'm dizzy. I do all the smack, need no stuff or help with none of you killing. You doing a lot of capping, watch when I catch, I'ma whack you in front of the witness. Damn, I knew you were tripping, we could have been superstars. Remember when we were jacking cars?
That to me is my favorite hit of the year so far. I like when we get this one. Speaking of superstars, R.I.P. Howard Hessman, Dr. Johnny Fever from WKRP.
Yeah.
He left us this week.
R.I.P.
I remember him as a DJ. I don't know if he's a, let's say, I don't know if he's a influence of a lot of podcasters, but he was the first behind-the-scenes look I ever got at broadcasting.
Matt Besser was just saying that he was a big part of, like, he developed improv, like the Herald or something like that.
For real?
Like, he was on the committee and did, he was like
a big actor, early improver, influence. Comedy guy from back in the day.
Wow. So we don't have the UCB without Howard Hessman.
There's none of it.
I bet we don't.
No, yeah, no. I don't know.
We don't have the new detective show with Will Arnett that they improvised.
We wouldn't have it. We wouldn't have had Venus Flytrap either. That was the nighttime guy that followed Dr. Johnny Fever. Mm. You guys not a KRP guys, huh?
No. Before my time.
Cincinnati used to be a big deal when I was a kid. I liked the Bengals. They had WKRP. It was like, it got a lot more play back in the day, Cincinnati.
They got chili on spaghetti.
There you go.
Yeah.
They're risk takers. They're outside the box.
A very strange tradition.
Chili's just spicy bolognese.
All right, coming in number one.
Number one.
Gunna and Future with Pushin' P. Oh, that's why there's two P tracks, because it's both Gunna. Put that together. She not a lesbian for P, she turned
lesbian. Push P, I'm Pushin' P. You called her a headspin? I just never heard that for real. She let me squeeze and she leave because she keep P. Private sweet, privacy, bitch, I'm pushing P. Purple paint, pussy paint, bitch, I'm pushing P. Push P, I'm pushing P. Push P. Come on, I've never heard ever anyone rhyme lesbian with headspin.
I mean, never heard that either.
I didn't know that was going on. That's a legit number one.
Pushing P means player, apparently, or P means player.
Oh, right on. All right. And we'll be right back with the movie chart. My name is H. Michael Cray, and I'm here with my guest, Mookie Blaylock.
Hello.
And
Brett Morris.
And this is the movie chart.
Movies. They're just like tweets. They release them constantly. Most of them we don't need to see. But when you get a good one, ooh-wee, movies.
Movies.
Mookie.
Mookie. Wow. Look at that. That could be your theme song.
You want to make that tweak and send it to me?
Yeah, let's get that edited in right here. I'm going to make a V sound start if you could chop that in. I mean a K sound, sorry.
Yeah.
So punch that in.
Coming in at number five.
Number five.
The Kingsman.
Nice.
Kingsman.
You cannot keep me locked away as the world burns.
The truth is, the world is ruled by corruption and greed.
We must do something.
Certainly. I keep thinking that's Rock You Like a Hurricane in the background.
It's very similar.
Dune, dune, dune.
The slow, moody version of Rock You Like a Hurricane, like in every movie trailer.
Yeah, the creepy, like the little girl singing it.
Yeah, like a little, like a really like macabre, like echoey piano, like ding, ding.
Here I am. Fuck you like a hurricane.
Yeah, lullaby ding. Style.
The knives and screaming.
All right.
Thoughts, Kingsman, interests?
Interests. What are you like? Howard, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm not going
raising
to
your
see
hand.
It. I don't go to see these movies. I'm a TikTok guy, but if they come up with a 15-second version of it, I'm all in.
The first Kingsman movie is awesome, and the rest of them are bad, I think.
How many have there been?
This is the fourth?
Really?
Maybe third.
Oh, my God.
I feel like there was another one after... Because there was like, it was Kingsman, and then was Golden Circle the second one, or was that the third one?
I feel like I just mentally blocked out this entire franchise.
Yeah, yeah. I have trouble following this franchise. Like they don't just go 1, 2, 3 on this stuff.
Mm. The thing I remember about the Kingsman is that in the second one, the main guy, puts a tracking device inside of a lady's vagina by putting it on his finger and fingering her.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
That's racy.
Yeah.
Did that get protested? Was there pushback on that?
No, people loved it.
Was there pushback?
And it just stayed in there?
Yeah. Did
How it long was that tracking device?
Or was there pushback?
As long as, for as long as they needed to get her ass for whatever bad thing she was doing. I can't remember. I watched it on a plane.
Oh, no wonder.
Oh, wow.
Right on. I mean, that's maybe the best place to see a movie these days is a plane because you're already braving germs. You might as well see a movie.
Right.
Whereas going to the movies, you go, I'm not braving germs. I might as well stay home.
Mm. All right. Coming in at number four.
Number four.
Redeeming Love.
What?
What?
You got any big plans?
Oxymoron, right?
Plans?
Thank you.
You can't keep me here. You forget where I found you, Missy. I made you a princess.
A young couple's relationship clashes with the harsh realities of the California gold rush of 1850.
Oh.
I'm gonna kill you.
It's a gold rush film.
The gold rush was tough, but it gave us the Niners. They had a great season. Redeeming Love. It's like love in itself is not worthwhile. It must redeem itself in some way.
This is truly such a funny, like, COVID times. Like, there just aren't movies coming out. So, like, the top five movies are, like, some fucking weird movie that you've never heard of about like a romantic period piece and like about prospectors or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In no other time would that movie be in the top five movies in the country.
No, it's sold 36,000 at the box office, so it gets to be number four.
Yeah,
right.
That's like Omicron. you know, like you look at like the Tony Awards every year, and they only make like five new musicals every year, so they all get nominated for Best New Musical. So like Shrek will get nominated because it was just one of the five new musicals that were made this year.
Yeah.
That's like you know that the Netflix show Cheer.
Oh,
you know, with the cheerleading squad, the Navarro cheerleading squad, and they win every year.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is about, you know, them with their rival Trinity Valley or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I found out that they're the only two teams in that competition.
In that
oh, come
division?
On.
They're the only two in that division. Every year, it's just between the two teams, the only two. They leave that out completely.
That's crazy.
My best friend from college makes that show.
Really?
Yep. My friend Adam Leibowitz is a producer on that show and sometimes director.
Uh-oh.
And I never heard that from him, so I'm going to get the
scoop.
Sorry,
Adam. Yeah.
No, it's okay.
He's probably the guy keeping it quiet. He might have invented that division just so he could do a reality show about it. He cast all those players.
This is not a reality show. It's a documentary series.
Oh, sorry about
that. It's good. Like, it's compelling to watch. It's entertaining. It's just interesting. Like, I don't think you can get any more niche than that particular competition that those two teams are in.
Of course. Yeah. Well, it's the junior college because they made Last Chance U as well.
Right.
Which is a great, great documentary. And it's about, like, you know, junior college, like football and basketball athletes. So I think it was like along the same lines of like, it's the same premise, but it's for cheerleading instead of football or basketball.
Yeah.
Right.
If that even makes sense to you.
It does. I think it's a great commentary on our political system.
Yep.
It shows the folly of only having a two-party system.
The lesser of two evils really is what those cheer judges are picking.
Yeah. The lesser of the two football it's evil
rigged,
football
man, teams. It's rigged. All right, coming in number three.
Number three.
Sing two.
See what I mean?
There's only two of them, right?
All right, yeah.
Well, that's a sounds good.
Snippet of the good film little there. Soundbite, yeah. this trailer is not doing anything, but it never makes sense. Every time I played the trailer, it's never made sense to any of us. It seems almost like a karaoke machine.
Yeah.
Playing, and it's just these characters singing the hits from about 5 to 10 years ago.
Right. Hey, speaking of which. Metallica and the Black Keys are going on tour.
Hey.
Really?
They haven't had hits in a while, and they're bringing COVID-sniffing dogs with them on tour so that they can make sure, hey, go sniff the roadies. Go sniff the security guy. Go sniff the cooks. So they can
catch
the
COVID. And then if the dog tests positive for COVID, then you have COVID.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't even heard of dog sniffing, COVID dogs.
Yeah, sniffers. They got COVID sniffing dogs. They can kind of smell it on you. And they're going to be bringing it. And I guess if Lars comes down with it, then they'll have the dogs go out there and sing.
That's
because those dogs can sing metal pretty much as good as
they would have people. To play the drums if they sniff it on Lars.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I meant Hatfield, yeah.
Sing 2 reminds me of when I was in college. I went to Emerson College in Boston.
Congrats.
Yeah. And
Howard Stern.
And one of their other notable alums is Dennis Leary.
Oh, okay.
And I was in
bullshit.
One of the, yeah, I know. Cappuccino, mochaccino, frappuccino, Al Pacino. He just did that. He was doing like a talk at Emerson, and I was in one of the comedy troupes with Dave Horwitz. Since we were in the comedy troupes, we got to have a little exclusive, like one, like 30-minute one-on-one with him backstage before the show and to like ask him questions about comedy and stuff. And I remember the thing he said, he was like, if I could give you guys any piece of advice, get famous, do like an animated movie. Like I did the Ice Age movies. Kids just, doesn't even matter if it's bad. They spend a ton of money. You make like $1 trillion. That was his advice to us.
Wow.
Is get famous and do animated movies.
Yeah. Like, okay.
He's like, you make a shit ton of money. Kids are stupid. They buy it. They always go see it, even if it's bad.
That's amazing.
You're like, all right, pretty easy. That's what I got to
go. Yeah, you're like, thanks. My question was, who was your biggest comedy influence, Mr. Leary?
What'd he say?
I don't even think I asked that, or I probably did, or something like that. Like, I don't know. He probably said, like, who fucking cares?
Did you think he sniffed you out as a future performer, or he thought you were just going to, go be a cook?
I don't know that he thought any of us would go. You know what I mean? It's weird. It's like he was nice, but like it's one of those where like you could just tell he like wasn't like excited to be talking to us. I don't think he left there being like, those kids got a lot of potential. I think he was just like, all right, are we done? Can I go?
Right.
Can I get my fucking paycheck? Thank you.
Yeah, give me my gifts that I'm going to throw out at the hotel.
Yeah.
And let me get out of here.
He probably got 30 grand for just showing up for like an hour and just being like, anybody want to ask me questions?
Yeah. They pay me for the Q and the A, not to hang around afterwards. All right. What's coming up next?
All right. Coming up at number two.
Number two.
We got Scream.
Oh.
Doors unlocked. All doors locked.
See, the twist now is they got Ring cameras and apps on their phone that lock the doors.
I can tell why they call it Scream.
Have you seen this?
I have not. I've heard it's great, though. Or I've heard it's fun.
They're all pretty fun, I think. I'll see you when it's...
Okay, I'm just saying this one I heard is fun. I actually think they're all very fun.
Yeah, geez.
Yeah, well, I didn't say I didn't think that.
Yeah, I don't know. This was exclusively in the theaters, right? I remember, like, this was giving people a lot of anxiety because they really wanted to see it. But
it's giving people a lot of COVID. It adds to this to the horror factor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's scary to brave the...
It's 4D horror.
Even William Castle couldn't really get you sick at one of his movies.
Why don't they have these COVID dogs everywhere?
They should. I don't know. Maybe they're expensive, tough to train.
Yeah, I think Metallica's putting up their own money for the COVID dogs.
The training center.
Yeah.
Metallica training center. Yeah.
And as soon as the tour's over, they put them all down.
Yeah, the dogs are done. We put out a new song about having to kill all the COVID dogs. But they're going to be out there. And I mean, Elvis back in the day, I saw that there was an ad for Elvis doing a polio vaccine. He went out to show people, like, you know, get the polio vaccine.
Wow.
And it, like, fully got a lot more people to do it.
Whoa. That's interesting.
So this is nothing new.
Stick to music, dude.
Yeah, don't quit your day job, greaser.
Get the polio.
I get a polio vaccine. Polio. Get a vaccine.
This is my favorite Elvis era. Yeah.
The Dr. Fauci era.
You're right. All right, coming in at number one.
Oh, coming in at number one.
Spider-Man No Way Home.
Nice.
Have you seen this one?
Ever since I got this.
I have seen this one.
I've only had 1 week.
Where my Anything happened in this one?
Honestly?
People like it, right?
Zendaya has like 150 IQ or something like that.
Is that good?
That's real good. Like, oh, it's super high.
She seems, whenever I see interviews with her, she seems like she is, like, cool and has a good sense of humor, which I think makes you smart, or means that you are smart.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that. She's got a good sense of things.
Yeah.
Old soul.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, I saw this movie in the theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
Braved.
Well, I picked a weeknight.
Oh, okay. Will Hines told us the major twist of this.
Or go ahead and say
big spoiler. Well, all right. Well, for listeners, here's the spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
He said all the Spider-Men from all the different franchises all came together in it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I thought that was like old news. Yeah, it is true. But it's like a Spider-Man multiverse thing with a little help from Doctor Strange.
Part of this podcast is we know truly nothing about some of these movies that we talk about.
Mm. He's like, yeah, that tracks.
The Spider, I like, you know, I'm a good little fucking corporate lemming and I go see all the Marvel movies because I have to. But the Spider-Man ones are like genuinely just like more entertaining than most of the rest of them. They're just like better. This one is like the worst of all of them, but.
That being said, this one sucks.
But
what makes the Spider-Man movies better? They're just a little more heartfelt or something?
No, they're like, I mean, the first Spider-Man Homecoming, like the first one they did for Marvel, like the solo Spider-Man movie, was just like super like, just like the action scenes are really fun. Like the dialogue is fun. Like it really like moves at a clip. It's not boring. Like they just do good. It's one of those, like they give you all the good Spider-Man stuff. Like they let Spider-Man do all the things that you want to see him do, and they all feel earned and stuff that. It's just like entertaining. Have you seen the newer like Planet of the Apes trilogy? Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, I like it.
I think those movies are so fucking good. I think they're like the best, like,
I really big like budget those ones.
Movies that have like of this like century. And they're so like, they're just so like, they, all of them are such, they're all just pure momentum and everything is earned. And they basically just give you everything that you want to see happen with like apes turning into humans. And it's like fucking awesome. They're so good.
Yeah, I agree. I was super impressed with all those. And they're like, they're very adult too. They're not like,
And they do a good job with the like variety of apes and you, and the way they look and the way they talk and everything.
Yeah.
That's definitely one of the exceptions, because it would be easy to be, you know, cynical about any of those remakes and CGI was like, fests and everything. Those
ones were insanely good.
And I'll tell you now, I go on TikTok, I see a lot of people have spider monkeys as pets.
Oh boy.
They walk around the house in a diaper and they respond to, you know, all kinds of talking and stuff like that. And
they have pet spider monkeys.
And they have their own pet spider monkeys as well, yeah. But that could be a new direction if they thought about taking that to the platform of TikTok. That could be a direction for the franchise.
Mm.
Have you seen, there's a TikTok where the orangutan is driving around like a golf cart?
I have seen that, yes.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, movies come to life.
Yeah,
we don't even need those movies anymore.
That's, we basically are living on Planet of the Apes already.
Yeah.
In so many ways.
So many ways.
Well, right on. That was the movie chart. And we'll be right back with the hot picks.
The hot picks. The hot picks. The third chart is the hot picks and the countdown's about to start. Let's see who brought a hot pick and let's see who did not. The hot picks. The hot picks.
These are the hot picks. We'll see if we did better than Apple this week. Maybe we'll have a Neil Young song on our thing.
Yeah, there we go. that was a funny thing this week where Apple and all the rest had all of a sudden had all these Neil Young playlists called like I love Neil Young.
Usually it's
Neil
like,
now you love Neil Young.
Yeah.
Usually it's like all the new albums they love. We're loving these like 50 different albums. And this week it was just, we love Neil. right on.
See, the boomers are like flexing their music. It's almost like a resurge of their protest, their protest roots. You know, it's nice. That's one thing they still do have. They have music that just like still dominates, you know?
Yeah. Right. They don't have much else.
Nothing else. Yeah.
No. Our poor moms and dads.
All right, coming in number five.
Number five.
Speaking of which, this is Howard's pick. This is Jethro Tull.
Oh my God, you're not ready. We had Styx back in the day. They put out a good Styx album.
Yeah, last year, yeah.
See, so listen to, tell me this. Check out the Tull. That's all I got to say.
Check out the Tull.
This is a new Jethro Tull song. Tull.
Yeah, you could start this from the beginning too. Like this is just
wow.
It's just good.
That's big in itself.
That's big.
A Jethro Tull song. You can start from the beginning.
This is new, baby. Right. First album in 20 years.
New Tull. This is called Shoshana Sleeping.
That's Jethro Tull.
Yeah, you can tell, right?
Wow.
Time's not yet. Early bird soon crowing.
What?
When dawn declares, woman risen from childish days.
It kind of slaps.
It's like one of the best Tull songs ever.
Torch outside, light path down cobbled lane. Which I of what will walk again?
It's a banger.
This goes hard.
It does.
It's weird. Like it goes hard because it's almost more Jethro Tull than even their old stuff.
Yeah. Like,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
they went even further Tull.
They were, yeah. I would completely believe you if you said this came out in like 73.
I know.
A deep
like
cut.
That's my favorite track that I heard on there. But yeah, it's like, how many classic rock bands have their best songs still in them?
That's crazy.
I guess it's not better than Aqualung or whatever.
It sounds like
a Jethro Tull song that came out of Howard Kramer's brain too.
Yeah, I like that.
Like if that was on.
Yeah, it's like Donkey and it had that.
Yeah, when you're like a hyper specific band like that, you just you stick around long enough to just sort of become a parody of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went past that.
Every once in a while, that is like the Styx album. You got to check that out too, Mookie, where it's like they somehow do it right. It doesn't just sound right. Like they're just rehashing old bored ideas old and they're guys, tired yeah. and old and they're and it sounds too glossy. It like somehow sounds like they're prime again.
Yeah, they wow. like they caught a
I don't know how
of energy and capitalized on it.
All right. Well, this next pick is funny. We didn't plan any of this, I swear. This is coming in at number 4. And I think this might be a cold pick for me. This is Scorpions with
Whoa.
Wow.
Rock Believer. This one really made me
had a new one.
Really made me laugh. It's everything you think about the Scorpions, how it might sound.
I'm a rock believer.
This is what usually happens.
Yeah.
When the old
man, this is the perfect contrast.
Another one where if you said this was from like 1988 or something, I'd be like, yeah. You make us scream and learn to talk. Discover life on every day. Discover life.
Discover.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten better at English.
And if you always keep the faith, no one can take your dreams away.
Oh,
you gotta believe in rock, guys.
I know. I love that, but I feel so bad for these guys just being like that. Just like there's just nobody interested in that kind of music anymore, and they haven't been for the last like 30 years.
Yeah,
yeah, it's tough. Unless there's some weird kids in Michigan that want right. to come and sound exactly.
They
like
don't do
Scorpions.
Themselves any favors though, because it's like the message of the song gets so cheesy. Where it becomes like, you got to be a rock believer. You got to believe in the message of rock.
They're always talking about dreams, the Scorpions.
Yeah.
They're always like, yeah. It's weird.
They're like the most new agey Germans.
Yeah, they're like new agey.
Yeah. Analyze your dreams.
It's for the toddlers. It's metal for the toddlers.
And it's like the new ABBA too, where it feels like their accent has only gotten stronger somehow.
Yeah.
The more they've spoken English, they've gone backwards.
Language skills deteriorate with
They're just out of practice.
They're out of practice. Yeah, maybe it's pandemic.
Yeah.
Seclusion.
All right, coming in at number 3.
Number 3.
This is Mookie's pick. This is Magdalena Bay with Secrets, parentheses, Your Fire.
Ooh. Pretty good, huh, guys?
I like it. It's mellow. I feel like I'm about to go in for a medical procedure.
Be good.
You got a hype doctor's office.
Yeah.
They're all twirling around with the scalpel.
I wasn't supposed to pick some old, like an old band that has a new song, was I?
No.
Perfect. Like no, I said,
this is eclectic. This is great. It's a perfect pick.
Okay, great.
Perfect pick.
I like the way it's produced. It's mellow. I could see I try a new drug on that. That's playing
sure,
in
yeah.
the back.
I've only really been able to listen. For some reason, I'm on like a months-long kick now of just like the only music I want to listen to is like vibey and funky and dancey. Like I just can't listen to anything else. I'm mm-hmm. perhaps it's you know, keeping me from hitting the bottom of depression.
Sure. Right. It's self-care. I like it.
But when I'm going out to meet my buds at an outdoor bar patio, you know, I'm cranking that.
Hell yeah.
We've heard that from a number of people here. I think you're not alone in that. Like people who just want to hear bouncy, upbeat stuff. Yeah. These days.
Truly, that's where I'm at. I can't.
I think it's smart.
Thank you. It is pretty smart. I
mean,
think.
That's been Howard's whole kick
his whole adult life.
I tell
life
people that all the time. You're going through a breakup, just don't listen to any love songs, period. Just stick to the peppy stuff. Program your mind with that stuff.
Yeah, I'm not a lyrics guy. You know what I mean? Just let me bop my head.
Your vibe. Your vibist. Okay.
Just talk about like fire and fucking and stuff.
Non-verbally.
Believing in rock.
Sure.
All right. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
Again, this is a very unusual chart because this is all like old stuff besides your pick. This is my pick, Pavement, Be the Hook.
Mm. Pavement's got a new one. Wow.
Oh, well, let's play this one. How about that? That's right, we will. Everybody, get your hands together. Cheer for this.
Yeah, I don't know. That one is tough to call. I feel like it was a little of both of what we were talking about. I mean, it sounds like Pavement. Mm. It had a lot of Pavement in there.
Yeah, I think it might be like a newly released old song. Like I think it's a new release, but it might be an unreleased track from their heyday. I don't know. To me, it sounds like pretty good. Pretty classic.
Good old Pavement.
If you like Pavement, you probably like that.
I love
very Lou Reed-esque.
Sure, yeah. Are you a Courtney Barnett fan?
Yeah, I am.
I love Courtney Barnett. She's very Pavement influenced. I saw her at the Greek and Stephen Malkmus open for her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool. That's a good lineup. I mean, yeah, she's like, she put out a Pandemic album too. Did you hear that one?
I did. It's the thing about it is that like she's getting mellower as her albums go along, and I'm still just like, I want her like really like hard rocky stuff from like her first couple of albums. It was a good album, but I'm like, I don't listen to it like feverishly over and over again like I did her other albums. So
yeah. I found too, like, it wasn't an antidote to the pandemic. It was an expression of like the pandemic.
Sure.
We had Stephen Malkmus on Hollywood Handbook a few years ago. And that was like one of the coolest / like weirdest, most awkward recording sessions, especially on that show, because I think it was like one of the few times I've ever seen like Sean actually nervous to talk to his hero, you know?
Oh, wow.
And it's like a guy who's loser, not, you know, from the comedy world, you know, on.
I gotta be honest. When I did that show, I kind of got the same vibe that they were just a little scared to be
me too,
awestruck.
Weirdly, too.
Yeah.
Then I'm on it with my guitar, and my whole role on it is to be like the biggest idiot version of myself anyway. So I'm kind of having to take a lot of blows from Malkmus.
They were shitting on you because they were nervous in front of their hero.
And you're just
they're shitting
just
on
like,
you
you're
to
like,
make themselves look cool.
And you're like, musicians probably aren't going to get what the bit is here. So I just have to like,
I
had to rescue it.
Bite
it. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, you just got
to
grit.
It's just weird. It's weird to be like a fake dipshit. Like I would love to talk real music with him, but I'm talking fake music and coming off like an idiot to him. But he was great. He was a very cool, very nice dude.
Great.
Coming in at number one.
Number one.
This is Howard's other pick. This is Eels, Amateur Hour.
It was a near perfect morning, the sun was shining, birds making beautiful sounds. When all of a sudden it finally hit me, truth came crashing down. Amateur hour, amateur hour. Baby, you're an amateur, you gotta go pro someday.
There you go. Tight little tune.
This one's hitting me in a similar way too, where it's like,
oh,
is this good Eels or is this rehash Eels?
Yeah. tough to call, but
they're great.
The Jethro Tull was a slam dunk.
Yeah, sure. That was the best one. I'd put that up number one. I'd switch them.
Yeah, this is in no particular order, by the way.
Okay, well.
We always say, yeah, we always try to.
I'll always have them in my particular order.
I would say Jethro Tull's number one. Mine's number two, because I can't put mine number one. And
and I will get a tattoo of it.
Well, there you have it, the hot picks. This was a very heavy on the old guys' picks, but it's an interesting one.
Yeah, this was lukewarm or hot or whatever people get when they're old. Hot flash picks, we could call it.
I think it's it's just still early in the year. So like new releases hot new albums still haven't come out.
Yeah, nobody serious really drops in January.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to wait. You're waiting while, everyone's trying to get their summertime hit.
Yeah.
Right.
They'll drop
start seeing this come out.
Like that Offspring song that's like Bumping in My Trunk. Remember that song?
Bumping in My Trunk. I do remember that.
The Offspring released a song like, I don't know, 7 years ago or something that was, you could tell they were trying to have like a poppy summer hit and it was.
Oh my God.
A really, really terrible song.
I'm going to listen.
Oh,
to
you don't say.
I forgot about that.
It was called something. It was called like Summer Girls, parentheses, Bumping in My Trunk or something like that.
Weren't they out on a California cruise in the video?
And it's literally like, there's like girls dancing in the background being like, bumping in my trunk, bumping in my trunk.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was like,
hurts.
They were doing the Dexter parts.
He should just stick to the hot sauce these days.
Hey, I saw them.
Greatest, best hot sauce.
Mm-hmm. I saw them at a K-Rock Acoustic Christmas. It was one of the most intense live, like the whole place was shaking. Like everybody was jumping up and down in the upper deck. Like it was one of those things where it's like, this could cave in. Like this is not right. This is bad.
What year was that?
Shit, that had to be like 2002 or 3 or something that.
The heyday of the acoustic, almost acoustic Christmas.
Yeah, it was just like when it was like, Not even peaked yet. It was
I wanted some of those.
Wow. Pretty fresh after a Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of Robot Chicken excitement. I remember back.
Sure. Yeah.
Offspring seemed to turn into that thing we're talking about, like the old guys doing the going through the motions. They seemed to turn into that so quickly.
Oh yeah.
By the their second or third album,
like they're aping themselves.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. For sure. I mean, like those are like, they were, I feel like you could like tell by looking at them that they didn't have like too much staying power and that they were probably like, didn't they look like guys who were just like
me, just Orange County.
Yeah. You want us to make a little pop hit? Fine. We'll do it. You're like, hey man, I didn't say anything.
Hey man. Hey, I just say anyone making it out of the Orange County is a good thing.
Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah.
Get some seeing the world. I think it's good. Hey, Mookie, so much fun revisiting with you.
Thank you guys.
Right here on Who Charted.
Great to see you.
Hey, where should we check you out on social media?
I thought you were going to say where. I was going to say I'll be at the Best Buy in West Hollywood if you want to stop by.
Right on. Yeah, check it out by the TV.
Even though I live right by the one in Atwater, I like to make the trip. At Lil Mookie B on TikTok and Twitter and Instagram. And you can see all the stupid tweets and dumb bullshit I put up on there.
Oh, man. We barely talked about TikTok. Like, we're big TikTok fans on this show. And Mookie is a master of TikTok.
Are you killing it on TikTok?
Killing it.
Well, I had a little moment there on TikTok where I was.
You did?
Yeah. Well, I was, it was, Brett can tell you, it was just. Pitch perfect biting satire of TikTok.
Perfect.
It was right on the money. And
he's being humble, but it really was. It was incredibly funny.
It was a fun TikTok parody TikTok account that check it out. They're still all up on my Instagram. And you scroll back in my Twitter or go straight to my TikTok and look at them. It's I had a fun time. And that's where the podcast came, was sort of an extension of that TikTok. There's 50 episodes of that up on, I'm thinking about pulling them from from Spotify, but they are up on Apple.
Oh, I got to dig into this for sure. And that's just, I can just go to TikTok Mookie Blaylock.
It's Lil Mookie B, LilMookieB.
Oh, okay. Right on.
And that's it. And then, you know, just keep an eye out for, you know, me. And
do you still post on TikTok a lot now?
No, I haven't been doing it for a while. Now I just mostly am on Twitter doing dumb tweets and then Instagramming pictures of my dog and my dinner.
Right on. All right. Well, yeah, good to see you. How about you, Sart?
Yeah, you can order Improv for Humans for Music now. It's no longer a pre-order. It's just order. You can go on Newbery Comics, pick up the green vinyl release. Hope you do. Send us up that compilations chart. And thank you for anyone who's already gotten it.
Right on. Absolutely. Check out Grift Horse over there on SoundCloud. We've been doing that for a while now. People making thousands of dollars listening to that show. It's educational and hilarious. And we will see you right here next week on
Who Charted.